Hallelujah. You know Pastor James. He's the shock jock of the pulpit. So, all right. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 16 through 18 we're going to start off with. So good. What a great atmosphere of praise and worship today. That song lineup was great. All right, Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Jesus said these words. He said, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you," say me, "when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Now, go with me to Isaiah 58. Sit back and relax, because I got a 9.5 pager today. So, and I gotta go through it. This is too important to skip over and miss. And if you have a pencil and paper, you're going to want to take notes. Here we go. Isaiah 58, 1 through 12. "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers." Verse 4. "Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you." Man, there's some pretty good stuff here, isn't it? "The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in." So good. I want to unpack all that for you. So the Holy Spirit really put a message on my heart to speak today. I think this is the one thing that is lacking in many Christians' lives, okay? Today I want to talk about fasting. Say fasting. Fasting. More specifically, I want to talk about the blessings of fasting, all right? The title of my message is The Blessings of Fasting. Now, what is fasting? Fasting, number one, you got to think about this. It's a spiritual discipline. Say spiritual discipline. It takes a desire and discipline to do it. Why? Because it's not a fun thing to do. Anybody ever fast in here before? It's not a fun thing to do. Guess what? It's not supposed to be. all right? Your flesh will be screaming at you, okay? Now, here's the deal. So I got a lot of notes here, so I'm going to be looking down a lot, all right? So, because I don't want to miss this, all right? The desire part, the desire to fast, is not necessarily a desire to fast in general. Here's what the desire is. Are you ready? It's a desire to get closer to your Heavenly Father. A desire to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in a greater way. A desire to receive more wisdom in your life. A desire for more revelation in your life. And a desire for more understanding concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Does anybody in here want that? Yes. All those things? Amen. Now, here's what you got to understand about fasting. Now, there might be some things I'm not going to mention. I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit put upon my heart for this. But remember, as I talk, the Holy Spirit's going to bring more things to your thoughts and stuff. So a pastor can't preach on every little thing in one sermon. You know, I might keep you here for 2 hours, and I still wouldn't be able to touch on everything here. But what you have to expect is this. I'm not going to keep you here for 2 hours, by the way. We are expected to fast, all right? It's not optional, all right? Jesus said it this way. Are you ready? He said, when you fast, not if you fast. He said, when you fast. So here, what is fasting? Because there's a lot of different kind of goofy things out there about what it is. Basically, it's this. Fasting is defined as abstaining from all or some kind of food or drink, especially in a religious observance. All right? It's the abstaining of food. Some people say, well, I'm going to fast TV. I'm going to fast. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but really a true fast has to do with food. It has to do with food, has to do with drink, okay? Fasting is not an all or nothing thing. You can get creative with it. You can cut out certain things out of your diet for a specific period of time, right? It doesn't have to be where you're not eating nothing, all right? That's a full fast. You can do that, but that's a full fast. You can get creative. Say creative.
Creative.
Get creative with it, all right? But here's what you got to keep in mind when you're picking the thing that you're fasting, okay? It has to be some kind of a sacrifice to you, something that you're willingly giving up for a period of time for the purpose of seeking the Lord. All right? Oh, I'm going to give up kidney beans. Okay, let's, oh, wow, you super spiritual thing, you, right? It's got to be some kind of a sacrifice to you, all right? That's the whole point. That period of time that you fast is totally between you and the Holy Spirit, all right? Now here, listen to this. I'm going to be dropping some truth bombs on you, so get ready. The power of fasting is in prayer and fasting, a combination between prayer and fasting. In other words, when you're in a fast, when you're abstaining from food or some kind of a drink, you have to be in a mindset, say mindset, of prayer. It doesn't mean that you have to constantly be praying verbally. What it means is you're maintaining a mindset that's staying close to the Lord. Amen? So the power of fasting is in direct proportion to the level of desire and the sacrifice of what you're willing to give up for a period of time to grow an intimacy in your relationship with your Heavenly Father and focus on the kingdom of God. All right? Listen to this. A Christian will fast when they get spiritually hungry enough. Oh, you didn't hear me. Let me say it again. A Christian will fast when they get spiritually hungry enough, when their desire for the kingdom of God exceeds their hunger for this world and the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's rich right there. All right? But listen, it must be combined with pressing into or making a strong effort to increase your relationship with the Lord somehow. It's got to be combined with that. With whatever, reading the Word, having that mindset of prayer, literally praying, all right? Doing a task for the Lord in ministry, in your fasting, right? Jesus said about a certain demon, he said, this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and what? fasting. All right? So with ministry tasks, okay, the apostles, before they sent people out on missionary journeys, what did they do? They said they fasted and ministered to the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Are you following me? So their fasting and ministering to the Lord released divine instructions from the Holy Spirit. Hey, that's pretty cool, right? How many of you want directions and instructions from the Holy Ghost? Yeah, amen. All right, fasting is a really important thing. It's a spiritual discipline. The Holy Spirit's not going to make you do it. It's an act of your free will, all right? Now, here's an important kingdom key to fasting. So don't ever, if you walk out of here, remember this about fasting, all right? We must fast with purpose. If you're going to fast, there needs to be purpose, a purpose attached to it. If there's no purpose attached to it, there's no blessing or benefit attached to it. You're just on a diet. Right. Amen. Are you following me? Right. All right. So wherever fasting is mentioned in the Word of God, there was a specific purpose attached to it. Are you following me? There was a purpose for something. Something happened. They needed breakthrough. They fasted. There was something devastating that happened. They prayed and fast. They were going out to minister. They fasted. Are you following me? There is always purpose attached to fasting. So there must be a spiritual purpose attached to fasting, or a, you could say it this way, a positive spiritual motive attached to it, all right, for it to benefit your life spiritually. You're giving something up for a period of time that will afflict and that will affect, listen, the fleshly desires in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotions. Oh, come on now. That's shouting material right there, huh? Oh, let's afflict ourselves, right? Listen, it's not supposed to be an easy thing to do. Again, it's a sacrifice to the Lord. Amen? It's something that will afflict or put under subjection your fleshly desires. All right? And it will strengthen or it'll allow, I like to say it this way, it will allow your born-again spirit man, ready, to have greater influence over the flesh. Amen. That's what fasting does. All right? That's why you're afflicting. You're saying, flesh, you're not going to direct me. All these crazy emotions I'm going through, this anger problem and all this. No, 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 no. Guess what, flesh? I'm going to afflict you now. Okay? No Burger King for you. All right? Yeah, that's right. Okay? And so you're allowing your born-again spirit man to have greater influence, again, to have greater influence and override the flesh, fleshly actions, fleshly desires, all right? You're allowing the voice and desires of your born-again spirit man to overpower and override the fleshly desires. Now, always remember this, because some people have this messed up. All right, you ready? Fasting does not change God's mind. God is who he is. He knows what he wants. He has a perfect will. Are you following me? Fasting does not change God's mind. It does not change his plans or his purposes. God is the one, like I said earlier up here, God is not the one that needs to change. We are the ones that need to change. So therefore, then, fasting changes us and not God. It afflicts our flesh. It doesn't change God's mind. Now, here's why things change. Here's why breakthrough comes when you fast. Because a lot of people think, oh, wow, and this is where spiritual pride gets puffed up, right? Oh, I fasted. Oh, I made God move that, right? No, you didn't. No. No, you didn't. Let's straighten you out a little bit here, okay? Fasting increases and intensifies our faith and holiness walk with the Lord, and that's why it accelerates breakthrough in our life. Let me say it one more time. Fasting increases our faith. It intensifies our faith and our holiness walk with the Lord, and that's why breakthrough happens. You're not changing God's mind. So you can put that spiritual pride out the window right now, right? Our faith and obedience changes circumstances and moves mountains in our life. Now, where do I get that from? Well, Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11, verses 23 through 24, he said that we are the ones that are supposed to speak to mountains and command them to move, right? Did he not? God, it doesn't say God speaks to the mountains. It says you speak to the mountain in faith. Amen? So that's what I'm saying. So when we speak to the mountains, then God can get involved. Oh, you didn't hear me. If you're not speaking to the mountain, God can't get involved. If you're just talking about the mountain, if you're complaining about the mountain, guess where the mountain's going to be? Standing right in front of you still. No, Jesus said you speak to the mountain in faith. So there's our part. So when we move on earth, he moves in heaven, and that's when things are really starting to cook with grease. Hello, somebody. Amen? So you could say that we are the ones, we activate, I love this, we activate the resources of the kingdom of God by the level of our faith and desire. Let me say that one more time. We activate the resources of the kingdom of God, the angels of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. We activate those things when we move on earth by our faith and by our desire. Say faith and desire. Now, I want you to notice the Holy Spirit through the prophet Isaiah was coming against Israel with the wrong motives attached to fasting. Look at Isaiah 58, verse 3. Isaiah 58, verse 3. Are you locked in? Are you excited to hear about fasting? If that's my breakthrough today, if I can make fasting exciting to you. Where you walk out and your spouse says, hey, hon, where do you want to go for lunch? They're going to say, nowhere, I'm fasting. Boy, that message got me fired up, right? Oh, man, that's a victory for Pastor James. Now listen to this. Why have we fasted, they say, and have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. The Israelites were saying, hey, we fasted, and we haven't seen any breakthrough. God, we've afflicted our souls, and God, you're not even taking notice of this. In other words, they were fasting, and they were seeing no positive results. Has anybody ever fasted in here, and you didn't see any results with it, right? All right, and they were totally frustrated with it, right? And then Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, goes on and rebukes them and says they aren't changing anything. Here's why. Here's why they're so frustrated. Here's why nothing's happening when they weren't eating those Whoppers at Burger King, all right? Nothing's happening because they were still finding pleasures to do while they were fasting, and they were exploiting their laborers. In other words, they're using people. They were being deceitful. You could say it this way. You ready? They weren't walking in love. Are you following me? So here's what you got to understand then. You can do the right spiritual things, such as fasting and prayer, yet you can have the wrong motives in your heart and not benefit at all from any of those things. Amen? See, here's what you got to come to understand in your life personally. We cannot fool the Holy Spirit. He sees it all. He sees right through us. I mean, we're walking around and he's looking down. God's looking down. It's like an X-ray machine. He looks right into the heart. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's hidden from him. I seen a meme on Facebook many times. It says something along the lines of this. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. But it said something like, if you're going to lie, if you're going to sow division, gossip, and sin while you're fasting, go ahead and eat. Go ahead and eat. Why? Because it's worthless. It's in vain. Amen? Again, so there. If fasting's going to be effective, there's got to be the right motives attached to it. Amen. Go with me to Isaiah 59, verse 1. I'm only on page 3. I thought I'd encourage you guys a little bit with that one. Isaiah 59, 1 through 8. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in... They must be Democrats. Oh, did I just say that? Okay, I'm sorry. Nor does any plead for truth. Got to throw that political joke in there. But it's really not. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Look at this. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet, I'm going to eight. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Say iniquity. Iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Now, I want you to notice something very interesting, because the first part of that passage, everyone's like, yeah, yeah, woo, yeah. And then you read on, it's like, okay. Now, I want you to notice, it says the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. That's the shouting material. In other words, are you ready for this? The problem is not with God's ability to positively affect or intervene into your life, intervene into situations, but rather it's our sin. It's our sin that restricts God from stepping in into our life to help turn things around. Are you following me? So the Holy Spirit then is more than able. He's capable to turn things around, but it's us that restricts him. It's us that is stopping the breakthrough. And you know what? That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes for us, isn't it? Because we just want to blame it on God. Oh, it must be God's will. He doesn't want to help us. No, your life's just a wreck right now. Are you following me? So it goes on to talk about three areas that have the potential to restrict the Holy Spirit from stepping in and helping us. You want to know what those three areas are? This is a common theme. What we think, say, and do. Say think, say, and do. It's interesting here. It says their thoughts are filled with iniquity. Say iniquity. Now, here's what you got to understand about iniquity. A lot of people think iniquity is just sin. Right? It's a little deeper than that. Iniquity is not just sin. It means this. It means a moral corruptness. It implies the idea of a crooked or twisted nature. Now, let me go a little bit deeper, all right? It also means this. It means specific, say specific, weaknesses in each person. Get this, don't stop there. Or in a family line. Like a weakness or a specific generational sin in a family line, such as sexual sin, addictions. Are you following me? Yes. So that is iniquity. It's you're bent toward, you have a weakness toward. You know, you have some families, you've seen it. I've seen it working in deliverance ministry. For some reason, the sin of homosexuality just rips through a family line. In other families, not even a problem with that. They might have a problem with alcoholism or drugs. Another one might be pornography. Man, it just rips. Are you following me? So that person or family line, again, is bent toward a specific weakness to that particular sin or bondage. That's called iniquity. Do you got a fuller understanding about that? All right, a sin, I sin. That means there was one action where you trespassed against God. Iniquity means it's weakness. It's a weakness in you. You're bent toward it, okay? I find it interesting in verses 4 through 5 that the Word of God says when talking about conceiving evil in our thought life, It refers to those evil thoughts. Are you ready for this? As viper eggs. Oh, that, I mean, that just jumped out at me when I read that. Evil thoughts are like viper eggs. And from that which is crushed, it says, when those eggs are crushed, oh, come on. It says a viper breaks out of those cracked eggs. All right? So our thoughts, listen to me, our thoughts have the power to conceive or give birth to sin. It also has the power to avoid sin. And it also has the power to put sin to death when there's a temptation to sin. Do you see the three different things? And it all takes place in the thought life. So be very careful what thoughts you're allowing in your life, what thoughts you're giving place to, the thoughts that you're meditating on. Kenneth Hagin said it this way, you can't help the birds flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. Making a nest in your hair means you're camping out and meditating on those evil thoughts. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel like I'm hitting a bullseye in the spirit today. Amen. Ooh, so good. So, you know, those viper eggs, we don't want those viper eggs to be hatched. What's that really talking about? Are you ready? It's talking about you're going to give place to demon spirits, the kingdom of darkness in your life. That's a bad thing. That's a bad thing, right? All right. So, remember, God's hand is not shortened that it can't save you. His ear isn't heavy that it cannot hear. So then the responsibility of breakthrough, of him breaking through to help us, is on us. I want you to walk out of here with that. Because a lot of people, again, they push the whole responsibility on God. If something doesn't happen, something goes wrong, it must have been God's will. Now, you lazy thing, you. You lazy thing. It's your responsibility. You have a bigger part to play in this thing we call life than what you think. Amen? So always maintain a position of holiness and righteousness in your life. Keep in mind that this verse 59 was written after chapter 58, which talks about fasting. I found that really interesting. So the Holy Spirit is really driving home the importance of what we think, say, and do in connection to receiving or rejecting help from God in our life, all right? So you got to understand, God will not bless sin. He won't do it. It's impossible. Oh, God can do all things. No, rightfully divide the word. He cannot bless sin. Are you following me? That's an impossibility, all right? We must commit to live a holy life for him. And so that we're positioning ourselves to say, when we need a breakthrough, God, you can move then, right? That's called positioning yourself for breakthrough. So, holy, when I talk about holiness or being holy, what I'm talking about here is, holy means to be separate. You're being separate from the world's ways of doing things. We must live our life according to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We must be bent toward God with obedience to him, not toward sin, all right? And where does that shift take place? Where do you shift that train track? In your thought life, what thoughts you're giving place to. So listen to this. Let's get back to fasting, shall we? The fast that God has chosen, according to Isaiah 58, 6 and 7, is this: to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. Anybody have a heavy burden today? Well, maybe the answer is you need to fast. To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke or bondage. Share your bread with the hungry, to house or help the poor, to clothe the naked or poor, and to hide yourselves. Listen to this. This one really caught my attention. And not hide yourselves from your own flesh. Not hide yourself from your own sin. That is a list of reasons to fast, that God says this. He says, if your motivations are filled with those things that I just read, that's something I want to get in the middle of. That's a fast that I'm going to bless. Are you following me? There will be breakthrough blessings in your life when you fast, come on, with those kind of holy motivations. All right? Now, the last point, like I said, really jumped out at me, and it sums it all up, doesn't it? Not to hide yourselves from your own flesh, from your fleshly desires, or from sin in your life. Our time, don't ever forget this, our time of fasting, and really your whole life, but I'm talking about fasting, all right? I'm trying to tell you how to make your fasting time really effective. Our time of fasting must begin with, it must continue with, and it must finish with. So guess what that means? Yeah, it's like, I only think of you day and night. Well, that's all the time. Okay, God's saying all the time, right? All right. It must finish with a process of examining your heart, examining your motives of why you're doing things, examining your whole life in general, all right? Jesus, you know, the Word of God says, judge yourself so that you wouldn't be judged. Think about that. That's the get out of jail card free. Because I'd rather judge myself than God come along and judge me. How about you? Man, thank you, Lord, for giving me that opportunity to judge myself. But the thing is, a lot of Christians don't take that get out of jail free card. Here's what God's saying. He's saying you must become self-aware of your weaknesses. You must become self-aware of the problem areas of your life that you need to change. And you need to work on those things. It needs to be a very honest. It needs to be a very thorough. I even put this word in. You ready? It needs to be a brutal examination of your heart. Say brutal. You know, okay, so we might have, you know, pride can creep up, you know, when we're talking to someone else, like, I'm not going to admit my fault in that area to them. Well, if someone has that level of pride with talking to God, there's a real problem in their life. Are you following me? It's one thing to expose it to another member of the church or something, but if you're having that with your Creator, there's a problem, Houston. You need to be brutally honest with it, right? If that isn't taking place throughout the entire fast, you are simply, again, just on a diet. All right? It's not a true, impactful spiritual fast. All right? During a fast, again, we're not supposed to brag about it or try to look super spiritual about it. In fact, let's just keep our mouths shut about it sometimes, right? Or at least just don't look like you're bragging. Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, yeah, oh. Look at me, disfigured my face. Oh, it's so hard to flick this flesh. Oh, God. Are you following me? Jesus said, just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth. Stay silent, right? Amen. Jesus said it this way. He said, wash your face and don't let anyone know about it, just you and your Heavenly Father. If all you want is the praise of other people, then Jesus said this, that's your reward. That's your reward. Congratulations. What did he win? He won the reward of a couple people in the church. Are you following me? Not the blessings from our Heavenly Father. God's going to bless you a lot more than anybody in this church. Amen? In fact, no one's going to bless you for fasting in this church. Right? People, I'm saying. You're fasting? Oh, here, you know, here's some money for you then. Go to Burger King where you're done. Are you following me? I want the blessing of God. Amen? Again, it always goes back to our motive for why we are doing something, all right? It must be pure motive. Now, let's talk about the blessings of fasting. Yeah, I'm just getting started. No, but this is a cool part here, all right? Isaiah 58:8. I'm on page 6, so we're rolling through. Plenty of time left, all right. I'm talking about fasting, and you're thinking about lunch today. Okay, I'm losing this battle, Marianne. Isaiah 58, verse 8. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. All these blessings are in connection to fasting. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So your light shall break forth like the morning. So remember, with all of these benefits that the Word talks about, the common denominator of all of them is this, is that when you fast, when I fast, it increases, it intensifies our faith, all right? It intensifies, you could say it this way, our focus. Say focus. All right? And it lowers the influence of our fleshly desires that wants to pull us away from God. All right? So the Word of God refers to sin and unrighteousness as darkness. And it refers to obedience as, or righteousness as what? As light. All right? You see that throughout the Word of God. So fasting and prayer with pure and holy motives, you could say it this way, it causes spiritual light to be released in and through you. Have you ever fasted or ever seen someone who was fasting and they were having an amazing time with the Lord and it looked like they were glowing? Have you? I've seen it. I've been there. Because they're spending time in the presence of God. And you know what else happens, which we're going to talk about in a minute? Toxins are released, baby. Oh, hallelujah. That's why they're glowing too. All right, but listen to this. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Heaviness is referred to as darkness within and upon people, but light is referred to as spiritual lightness or peace. How many of you want peace in here? All right, so fasting will do one of two things or both of these things. Are you ready? Fasting will remove heaviness. It will remove emotional and spiritual burdens, and or it will release wisdom on how to handle those situations so that it will manifest peace on the inside of you. Sometimes a fast doesn't take something away. Sometimes the fast simply where the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom how to handle it to get out of the situation. Are you following me? All right, next. It says your healing shall spring forth speedily. This is a fun one. Fasting will release healing. And this reason is twofold. Say twofold. It releases healing because it removes roadblocks to your faith from receiving. It's just very simple. The Word talks about that. And fasting, number two, is a very healthy thing to do in the natural realm, in the natural, in your physical body. Because like I just said, fasting removes toxins. Say toxins. Fun word, huh? It removes toxins from your physical body. It gives your body a rest from digestion. It allows, here's what it does. Are you ready? Dr. Pastor James, ready? Here we go. It allows the energy in your body to be used in the problem areas of your body to work on healing. You know, digestion takes up a lot of energy. And you ever ate a meal and you're like, oh, I gotta go take a nap. Are you following me? Yeah. Because it's taking energy to digest that food. Yeah. So when you take that away, man, you're gonna notice there's the first day or two, you're going to be like, oh, man, I feel weak. But then the third day, on the third day, you'll rise again. Oh, you start to feel like you can run a marathon. You got so much energy. Your mind is so clear. Your kids can't get anything past you. I mean, it's just amazing. You might even start seeing in the spirit. I mean, it's powerful. Amen? So it uses that energy in your body that would have been used for digestion, and it works on the problem areas of your life, of your body. You know, God created your body to heal itself. You do know that, don't you? Okay, so someone says, well, it's not God's will to heal. Well, he created you with healing properties in your body. Why would he do that if it wasn't his will, right? So when we fast, the healing systems, the immune system, that's the whole purpose of the immune system, by the way, right? The immune system uses that energy to bump up its workload to be effective in healing. Isn't that cool? I mean, we are an amazing machine when you think about it. God puts some amazing thought in our physical body. So what we got, when you're fasting, you know all you're doing is? You're cooperating with the healing properties in your body. You're cooperating. You're saying, go to work. Right? But you got to understand this. Certain conditions and diseases in a physical body, they feed on, sugar and other unhealthy things we eat. I mean, that's just common sense stuff, right? But science has proven that a 72-hour fast, that's a three-day fast, resets. It literally, like a flip, it resets the immune system on the inside of you. Yeah, y'all, visitors, you didn't know you were going to get all this today, did you? Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but resetting the immune system, that sounds like a pretty cool thing. It sounds like a pretty positive thing, doesn't it? So even the increase of our faith in a fast, it has a connection to our focus. Like I said, when you fast, just getting rid of the toxins. Anybody ever, you feel cloudy? Anybody feel cloudy in your thoughts sometimes? I dare you to fast because it will release, and all of a sudden you'll be sharp as a tack, all right? It has a connection to our focus when we fast. And the release of toxins, it clears the mind. It clears that fogginess to help our focus, to even give us clarity, to be able to think. And what do you think that's going to help in your spiritual walk? Your faith. Say faith. Faith, listen to this. You could say it this way. Faith is concentrated focus. Do you know fear is concentrated focus? All fear is, it's perverted faith. You're believing something. It's just the wrong thing. Are you getting it? All right, so faith is concentrated focus, all right? If your thoughts are cloudy, it's impossible to truly focus. It's impossible to have strong faith when your thoughts are cloudy, all right? On top of that, how does the enemy attack us? In our thought life. So when you have cloudiness in your thought life, when you're feeling that sluggishness, guess what the enemy says? Woohoo! They're a prime target. Here, how about this thought? How about this temptation? Ding! Are you following me? Oh, did God really say he believed that healing is yours? They're cloudy. They can't even think straight. Here comes another fiery dart. Are you following me? So I'm just saying, fasting covers so many things, so many things. Here we go. Next, as I carry on, your righteousness shall go before you. Your righteousness, your holiness will open doors for you that were not opened before. All right? It also means that no matter of who tries to speak evil of you, your righteousness will go before you to speak truth. The fruit will go forth, the proof. Amen? Next, it says, and there's more to that. Just go ahead, pray about it. Lord, give me more than what Pastor James is saying. All right? Listen, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. I like that. There's a reason why he said rear guard. All right? I love this because it means that God is protecting you. He's got your back when you don't see what the enemy is doing. That's why he's your rear guard. Are you following me? Oh, isn't that good to know? Just to know that, hey, he's got... Now, remember, this is all in connection to fasting, all right? Getting your life back in order, basically. What you don't see, the Holy Spirit does, and he's protecting you. He's constantly on guard. Every area of your life will be saturated with the glory of the Lord. Or another thing we call the glory of God is what? The manifest presence of God. Oh, we had a cool experience. We were watching a video on end times last night. And all of a sudden, we were watching TV, and we felt a breeze come at us. And the manifest presence of God hit us. We started seeing angelic movement all over our living room last night. She started seeing like a rainbow over the top of the TV. It was just all of a sudden, boom, it just hit. Oh, it's fun. The kingdom of God is fun. There's some good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's the manifest presence of God when you literally feel him. You physically feel him. I felt like I was tingling all over me when that heavenly breeze hit me. Hallelujah. And listen to this. That is the one thing, the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, that is the one thing that Moses said. When Moses said, I'm not going to go anywhere unless your glory, your presence goes with me. Think about that. Oh, I love that. You want the presence. You know, I was just thinking about that too. Remember when Moses came down from receiving the Ten Commandments and he's seen all this junk going on from the children of Israel, and he was annoyed, wasn't he? You know, it's a thing. When you get into the presence of God a lot, the things that are not of God will annoy you. You spend time in the presence of God, right? That's why Moses was so annoyed. He's like, I want to go back up that mountain. I don't have to deal with them, right? Come on, somebody. There's some, getting in the presence of God, it will straighten your discernment out. Oh, I like that. Amen. Isaiah 58:9, almost done. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. So you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. So God will be with you on standby whenever you need him. Again, these are all in connection to fasting. You're getting your life in order, okay? You're consecrating your life. You're telling God, God, I'm so serious about this. I'm willing to sacrifice these things for a period of time to press in, commit to you like never before. And he says, if you're going to do that, guess what? I'm going to be on standby for you. Amen. Say standby. Most importantly, there will be a greater clarity on your part to hear his voice and to sense his promptings, the promptings from the Holy Spirit when fasting, like we just talked about, right? There's a clarity on the inside of you. And then it says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the bondage from your midst, listen to this, the pointing of your finger and speaking wickedness. In other words, the pointing of the finger. God's telling us all this. Are you ready? Take responsibility for your own actions. Take your responsibility for your own actions, for your own mistakes, for your own sin. Don't blame it on somebody else. The bottom line is this. We willingly did our own sin. We willingly have done it ourselves, right? So God's saying this. He's saying, just admit it. Just confess it. And guess what? God will honor your honesty and your open heart. Amen. That when you look at the life of David, what else can you say? Amen. David was an open book. Was he a messed up one at times? Yeah. Yeah, he was messed up. But you know what? He knew where to run back to. Amen. Now, that's not a license to sin. But what we're saying is you need to run back to God when you do. Amen. And he's ready to take you right back, give you the robe and the ring of authority, and jump back on that horse and advance the kingdom of God. Isaiah 58:10, look at this. It says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Again, so we got to continue to be holy, set apart from the world, do things God's way, right? And do the work of the kingdom of God with pure motives. We can't stress that enough. Who's we? Me and the Holy Ghost expressing it to you. Now, it says, and then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Now, say dawn. Dawn. Do we have any dawns in here? Oh, I'm not talking about you. Listen, dawn happens every morning. The sun rises every morning. But I wanted to look up the definition of dawn because I felt like there was more to it. You ever had that feeling? There's more to this, right? There was. Listen, dawn is defined as the first appearance of light in the sky before sunrise. Dawn is not sunrise. It's the first, say first. It's the first appearing of light before the sunrise. So if you listen to this, here's what the Holy Spirit, this was stirring in my spirit. You make sense out of it. All right. If you don't know what time it is, when dawn takes place, the first appearance of light in the sky will give you a clue when sunrise is going to happen in your life. It happened. And now transfer this to your life. If you feel like you're surrounded by darkness today, you feel like you're surrounded with negative circumstances in your life, fasting with pure heart motives and continuing to advance the kingdom of God during it will cause light to break through in your life and circumstances. That's what he's saying. He's saying, my light will break through. Oh, say breakthrough. So maybe you're doing the right things, maybe you're praying, but you're not fasted. I believe this message is a piece of the puzzle that may be missing in your life that is preventing the absolute breakthrough. Maybe you've gotten a little, you've gotten a little budge, you've seen a little bit going on, but adding fasting to your life as a Christian. Remember, when you fast, not if you fast, Jesus said. If you add fasting, this may be the very thing that is just going to send you to the moon. Amen? Amen? Adding fasting has the potential to speed up breakthrough because, again, it increases your faith. It strengthens your faith, all right? There is a reward for fasting because you're obeying Jesus. You know that? You're obeying the Word of God. When you fast, you're literally obeying the Word of God when you're doing it with the right motives, right? You got to rightfully divide the Word, right? Go in my last verse, Isaiah 58:11, and we'll get you out of here. You can have a nice big lunch, all right? Throw it right in my face. Okay, hold on. Well, two more verses. But who's keeping track? Now, Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul and draw and strengthen your bones. Oh, this is interesting. And shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you in your drought. Okay, that's another benefit. The Lord promises that no matter what the circumstances are around you. It kind of sounds like a prophecy from Carol today, right? Or from the Lord through Carol. No matter what's going on, no matter what the circumstances are around you, God says, I will provide, I will lead you. Don't worry about what's going on in the world right now. If you're staying close to Him, amen, and doing what you need to do, He will provide. He will even supernaturally provide if He needs to. Amen. He will. All right, that's not just an Old Testament thing. If he had to send you over to a river and say the raven's going to come and feed you there, they will. Are you following me? So you got to get in a mindset of supernatural. Get into a mindset of the supernatural. Forget what Fox News, CNN, and all these people are talking about. Get in the Word and keep a mindset of the supernatural power of God. Amen? Situations in the natural realm that would normally cause anxiety, fear, and panic will not affect you when you're doing the fast and praying because of His abiding presence increasing in your life. It's an assurance and peace to know that He is there with you. Fasting and prayer with an honest examination of your heart and life will cause you to tap into that supernatural life that God intended from the beginning. Okay, now, here we go. Oh, okay. So He's going to, when you fast, as I talked about before, I'm trying to rush through here. Hey, slow down, people. All right, here. Listen, I'm feeling that pressure. No, here, listen. He will release supernatural wisdom, instructions, and direction that wouldn't have been released unless you fast. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit told me. Someone needs to hear this. I don't know who. He didn't give me names, but maybe probably a lot of people, right? Right? Probably such and such from China watching online right now. Who knows? Listen to this. The Holy Spirit, ready? Couldn't trust you with certain missions or situations before a specific fast. That fast was used, are you ready? To equip you and make you mentally and spiritually prepared to fulfill that mission and calling on your life. Now, what fast will that happen in? That's between you and God. Are you following me? But in a nutshell, he said, some missions, some callings won't be released unless there is fasting going on. Because that fast is what's going to equip you for what you're going to be doing for the Lord. Are you following me? Yes. All right, next, the Lord will strengthen your bones. Interesting. Bone strengthening, also known as bone densification, means to make bones denser and more resistant to breaking. Now, I was doing research. This is another thing where there's more to it. Say, there's more. I was doing research on this about the importance of strong and healthy bones. And I found out that bones affect the overall health of the physical body. Bone marrow. Say bone marrow. Bone marrow. Bone marrow. Listen to what bone marrow does. It produces red blood cells for the transporting of oxygen to your entire body. Bone marrow also produces white blood cells to fight infection in your body. And bone marrow also produces platelets that aid in blood clotting. When God says He's strengthening your bones, it's not a shallow thing. The health of your bones directly impacts the health of our blood, the health of our entire body. The Word of God says that life is in the what? The blood. So bones are in connection to that. My point is this: God didn't just randomly, for no reason, talk about bones. He's referring to healing and strengthening your entire body, even down to the health of your blood and the cells to fight infection, to carry oxygen, and to blood clot. Isn't that amazing? Wow. It's not just about strong bones. It goes a lot deeper than that. So fasting will heal and strengthen our bones even and affect our entire physical body in a positive way. By the way, I got to throw this out there. Before you fast, if you have a condition, talk to your physician. Talk to your doctor, right? Legal reasons. I mean, we got good insurance here, but yeah, no. Right? There it is. Silas, keep that in the film today, would you? Thanks. All right, next. Last but not least, this is what I want to end on, and we're out of here. Isaiah 58:12. Those from among you shall build old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. This is interesting. Fasting will cause your heart to be watered, so it will produce good fruit. The ground of your heart will stay soft. But listen to this. The Holy Spirit revealed something powerful to me, that this is also talking about how truth and focus on the original intent of God for his people, all right, for mankind, his original intent of God, that the potential, his desire for mankind, as the generations have gone on, has been dried up, forgotten, watered down. Are you following me right now? God has so much more for his people, right? But throughout generations, sometimes that can get watered down. And when we fast and pray, the truth and focus gets clearer. Here's what it does. It helps us get back to the book of Acts mentality and mindset. It back to the original intent and purposes of God for mankind, right? Fasting and prayer will cause the Holy Spirit to use you, say me, as a repairer of that breach, filling the gaps that are missing in the body of Christ and on the earth today. Think about that. Fasting will make you, the Holy Spirit says, if you will have a fast, an effective fast, I will use you to be a repairer of that breach, of the forgotten things, that we are to walk and be partakers of the what? Divine nature. God has so much more. Amen? He will use you as a restorer of his original intent for mankind. All right? So fasting and prayer, it does all these things. Oh, isn't it powerful? All, everything. Who's excited about fasting today? Yeah. Amen. So, church, it's time to press in like never before. And part of that pressing in can include adding fasting to your prayer life, fasting to your life for a specific period of time. It may be, listen to me, the last sentence for driving it home. It may be the one thing that is missing spiritually that will cause the light to break through in the dark areas of your life. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. If there's anybody in this place, there might be someone in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. If you got breath in your lungs and you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today's the day to do that. Again, you don't know when you're going to take your last breath. And you need to act on that. You're feeling that in your heart today. You're feeling prompted. I need to do that. Step out. Step out of that aisle. Step away from that pew and come down and see one of our prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Now, maybe there's someone in here. You're falling away from the Lord. You're backslidden. Maybe this message just simply pricked you and said, you know what? I want to fast. If this message really impacted you, and you want to add fasting into your life, come up for prayer and just tell them, say, this message impacted me, and I want to add fasting, and I want to be led by the Holy Spirit with it. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, speaking in other tongues, come down and pray with one of the members. They will help you. They will lead you through that to receive that awesome experience. Amen? Jesus said you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We need that power. Amen? If you need prayer for anything else, they'll be here till about 5 p.m. tonight. So, all right, guys. Visitors, thanks so much for coming. Man, it's great to see everyone. We had a great service. Keep the unity. Amen? God bless y'all. Have a wonderful week. See you soon.